So you're in agreement with King Jesus. That stuff doesn't have a right to stay in your heart, in your mind. He says that he will cause peace to Mount Gerizim. Boy, this is great, because so many people are tortured and tormented in their mind. Because of Jesus, you don't have to be. Because he will cause peace to create a fortress around about your mind and protect you with his peace. That's Jesus. No man can do that. No drug can do that. Nothing that the world has can give you that. But Jesus says it's your birthright. Is that great? That's our Jesus. And I want to tell you, because me and the blonde were in agreement that time. I want to tell you, captured the coons, the little baby coons, and I put them on probation. I brought them to church and let them out so they could rule and reign in your neighborhood and not mine. But you don't have to have the wild, wild west camp out in your life, because the wild, wild west brings disturbance. Can anybody say amen? Well, we praise the Lord and give God praise. Hey, listen, we're fixing to kick off here in just seconds. And so we're going to give the Lord praise, and we're going to give the Lord celebration. I had some more scriptures to share with you, but we'll do that another time. And we're going to kick off on time today and celebrate the Lord. And so you help me this morning as we go through this message by receiving it, saying amen. Amen means so be it. It means I want that. Isn't that great? It's the shortest prayer. Amen. Telling heaven, I want that. So be it in my life. And so let's give the Lord praise. Let's give the Lord honor. And we celebrate those of you joining us. And you missed a story just moments ago that we may tell another time. But I want to tell you, the Lord loves to give us peace. And he's able to give us peace when the world can't give us any. And the world don't even know what real peace is. And I want to tell you how great God is that when he comes and when Jesus comes into your life, the Prince of Peace himself comes into your life. And when the Prince of Peace himself comes into your life, I want to tell you, his weapons are those wars, those battles in your mind that tend to torment you and drive you and disturb you. And Jesus has promised to give us victory. Now, victory Jesus paid for on the cross. But he's given us principles in the Word of God to apply to our life. And so when we cooperate and apply the principles of the Word of God to our life, you can be free in the mind. Doesn't mean you don't ever get attacked. Don't mean you don't ever get tempted. It don't mean, see, the enemy has a way of shooting those fiery darts the way the Bible describes it to your mind. But it's like we've shared before, you can't keep a bird from landing on your head, but you can keep it from building a nest. Am I right? And so that's the way, and the Lord's promised us victory. So we've been talking about some principles in this series. And this is sermon number 5. So if you've missed the ones before, they kind of are building on one another. So you got to go back and take them in. And they're free. They're online. Go get them. And, receive from the Lord. Let the Lord teach you. Because he's the one that teaches us through his word. It's not this messenger. It's the message. And so let the word be true in your life. This happened a few years ago. I was in Costco. And I'm there every week. It's one of the places where I go shop for the church, for saints, for our house. And so I'm in Costco, but because I'm there, everybody saw me, and when she saw me, she ducked her head like this and kind of turned. You ever had that happen? Well, it probably means they don't want to see you. Or maybe they've been thinking bad about you or talking bad about you. It's possible. Can you imagine? But the deal is that whenever that happens, I usually march right on over to them and give them an expression of love. I'm not trying to be rude or crude. I just want to love on people. And so sure enough, I centered in and walked and got in front of her. And she said, I'm sorry, you know, that we haven't been to church, her and her husband. And she said, I'm sorry I haven't been to church. You know, my husband don't want to go to church. And because he don't want to go, you know, I'm under my husband's authority, so I don't go. And so, you know, you just pray for him. And, you know, it's sad to me. I want to say, well, we've been under some good teaching that says that he's my kinsman redeemer. And I said, well, wait. I said, I understand the term. And I probably know what the teacher's talking about. But I want to be real straight with you. No human can be your salvation. No human can be your Jesus. The Lord uses people, but you can't depend on people to be Jesus for you. And I said, you know what? If they're not helping you walk with the Lord, they're hindering you from walking with the Lord. And I understand you being under authority, and you need to be respectful and under authority. But when it comes to serving the Lord, loving the Lord, going to church, you just get up real politely, real reverently. You get your stuff together, and you go to church. And when you come back from church, be a blessing. You don't have to preach sermons to people. You can just live a life that loves Jesus. And according to the Bible, that's going to affect them. And she said, well, okay. And that's the last time I ever saw him. And, you know, that's kind of sad. But I want to tell you something. You can't let people hinder you from walking with the Lord. If that's all it takes, the enemy will make sure there's a trail of people in your life that continue to keep you from walking on with the Lord. And so this is part of the mind games. Okay, you can't wait on others. It used to grieve me so much when people would say no to God, because we get the exciting experience of seeing people say yes to God and see their lives transformed and see them walk under blessing and under great peace and great joy and great love like they've never had in their life. That's what Jesus does. And God gives us purpose. They have purpose. The Lord didn't design you to carry a burden. He designed you to share a burden and bring it to Christ. But he didn't design you to carry other people's burdens. He didn't even design you to carry your own burden. The way of Christ is to bring that burden unto him. And a lot of peace when I realized that I can't help people with their problems if they're not willing to let the Lord help them. I can't do something for them that they're not letting the Lord do. I want to make an announcement that may sound a little hard for you, but it's true. Even the Lord will not help you if you don't allow him, if you don't cooperate with him. There's nothing he can do outside of your will. He gave you a will. He gave you a chooser. He's not going to make you. He's going to invite you. For example, God in the Old Testament says, I present before you life and death. And then he said, and I want you to choose life. But he gives us a chooser. He's given you a personal will, and even the Lord will not go against your will. And so you don't wait for other people to get right with God or begin to walk in love life with the Lord for you to do so. I'll tell you what that's like. That's like pastors that say to me, because we love on pastors, minister to pastors. It's like pastors say to me, well, you know, we're just surviving as a church. But we're just waiting on God to send revival. Caused. When the Holy Spirit was manifested on his people, and God has never cut off the flow of revival. Man has. Man puts his name on a move of God. Man puts his rules and conditions on a move of God, and he can stop the flow of God. But it's man that says no to God that stops the flow of God. On in your life. And just like one match can start a wildfire, I want to tell you the love of in your life that's not walking with the Lord. What I was trying to explain to this wife, if your husband's not walking with the Lord or pursuing the Lord, you need to, because somebody in your house needs to be walking in the grace of Jesus. Somebody needs to be walking in the overflow of the love of Jesus, walking in the peace of Jesus and the joy of Jesus, so that you can be a blessing to your whole household. Because your joy, your peace, your love affects your kids, your grandkids, people that you know, even people you don't know. And so the best thing that you can do for your household is to be determined that I'm going to walk after the Lord, whatever it takes. Does that sound a little hard? And it's more than your words, it's your life. Don't let their darkness disturb your heart. Don't let their effect, fear or anxiety or irritation steal your peace. Now, let me make it clear. Don't let other people steal the peace that Jesus is. Don't let other people steal the joy that Jesus gives you. He is joy. His word is so clear. Matter of fact, he says he gives his word, his words to us, his word, that we might enjoy peace and love and joy. And so it's the key is his word. And so instead of listening to the words of others to disturb you or distract you, get you off track, you listen to the words of Jesus and let his joy and his peace rule and reign. Is that a good word? And so don't let the enemy steal your peace, even if he tries to do it through people. Don't let the enemy steal your peace if he wants to do it through circumstances. I want to tell you, no matter what hits your life, when you're convinced that Jesus loves you, and we're going there in this sermon, when you're convinced that this is yours, with such conflict that you've been in, well, with God won't start till you come to the end of yourself. Now, that's hard to watch. The Lord starts in your life when you come to the end. And you wonder, how much further down does somebody got to go? Well, I want to tell you, sometimes what we think is the bottom is not the bottom. I'm just going to say it's not soup yet. We just have to be patient. You still love on them. You still encourage them. I'm not saying rescue them. I'm not saying enable them. I wonder what would have happened to the law. Until they do, we can't do. Until they do, God can't. And I want to tell you, it's amazing. One of the secrets to walking with the Lord is to say yes to God. Today, you can say yes to God. And I want to call it this. I want to call it a lifetime yes. Because there are people that actually come to God and say, I just want a little rescue. Would you just change my situation, my circumstances a little bit? Would you kind of get the thorns out of me? And so I can get a fresh start on my own. And I want to tell you, that doesn't work. I want to tell you, God loves you so much, he will rescue you. We see God do that. But I want to tell you, it's not going to be a walk with God until you come to the end of yourself and give God a lifetime yes. Now, one of the keys, because of our humanness, to a lifetime yes with God is to make that lifetime yes an everyday yes. Oh, come on, amen now. It can't be just on Sunday. It's not a walk with God, and that's really what he wants is a walk with God. It needs to be an everyday yes. That's what makes a disciple. Now, we have a little motivation problem sometimes. And I want to tell you, Cortez in the 1500s kind of figured out what to do. He was a Spaniard. He and his army, by ship, had come to Central America. They were going to conquer Mexico. And they were getting whooped because they were vastly outnumbered. They didn't know anything about jungle warfare. And they sure were not dressed for the humidity and heat. But I want to tell you, they were far outnumbered. They were getting whooped, and it was a real discouraging, tough time. Anybody ever been through a tough time? Well, I want to tell you, Cortez's men were in rebellion, and they were bouncing back and forth. And he was trying to push them on, let's conquer, let's win, let's go. And we got destiny, we got purpose. And the men were saying, we want to go back to the beach. We want to go back to one of them little islands that we stopped at. And we want to go back to the beach ministry and not jungle warfare. And so Cortez noticed that he had a motivation problem. And so what he ordered was for the ships to be burned. And when his army watched the ships being burned, the smoke going up, they said, I guess we need to fight. And they did, and they did. And they had success. But there was no success without the commitment and dedication and being determined. But I want to tell you, God does that in you. You don't even have to work it up on your own. When you come to Jesus, he wants to give you everything that you need for your journey. And he's the one that will cause you to be determined. You say, well, I've never been committed to anything in my life. Jesus can make the difference in that. That's what his love does. I want us to see it in Scripture. You ready for some Bible? I bet you are. Look at Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And Jesus called to him the throng with his disciples, and he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, If anyone intends to come after me, let him deny himself. The Amplified brings out to forget himself, ignore himself, disown himself, lose sight of himself and his own interest. Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Does that kind of sound like something I've been trying to say? Well, the Word of God puts it so clear. And take up his cross, and joining me as a disciple, and siding with my party, follow with me, continually cleaving steadfast to me. Does that sound like just showing up on Sunday? Does that sound like just having a bumper sticker on your car? You see, according to what Jesus was saying, is that, you know what, fellowship and walking with the Lord requires a whole lot more than just what's convenient in your life. He needs to be the center, not self. It's no longer your life, you make it his life. Now look, there's a difference between an attender and a disciple. Are you a church attender or are you a disciple of Jesus? Amen. You can say, oh, me, if you want to. It's not going to stop me. I may circle the wagon again. There's a difference between a professor of Jesus and a possessor of Jesus. You say, well, that doesn't seem very fair. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus said it would be so. He said there would be many, many that call me by my name. But there will be few that I really, truly know. And so the definition of eternal life, everlasting life, is not whether you know his name or know who he is. The definition of eternal life according to Scripture is knowing God. Do you know the Lord personally, and does the Lord know you? That's what salvation comes to. And so there's a lot of normal Christian subnormal living that takes place in the name of Jesus that's not real Christianity. It's not self-centered. It's Jesus-centered. Let's look at some more scripture. Verse 35, whoever wants to save his spiritual life, his eternal life, the higher life, will lose the lower life. Do you see that? Okay, now let's be clear. It's one or the other. You choose the higher life, you lose the lower life. Wait a minute. He says it another way, same way. Look at the rest of the scripture. And whoever gives up his lower life, his self-life, for my sake, because of me, for me, and the gospel's sake, will save it, will gain higher life. And so, just real simple, it's like this. Do you want higher life? You have to turn your back on the lower life. You turn your back on the lower life, you get the higher life. Jesus said it's one or the other. Now, what's popular in our generation is to say, I want both. I'm going to put a foot over here. I want to play and have fun and live the wild, wild west. And I'm going to put over here because I want the blessing of God. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus said it's one or the other. In order to gain the higher life, you got to turn your back on the Lord, the self life. You turn your back on the low life, you can gain the high life. I want to tell you, that's the way the Lord put it. So what do you want? Life or death? Which one are you esteeming? Are you esteeming, honoring, celebrating yourself? Are you esteeming, honoring, celebrating the Lord? It's like the seesaw. You remember the seesaw. If you're esteeming the Lord, you're disesteeming everything else. If you're esteeming the junk and the self in this life, you're disesteeming the Lord. It's either one or the other. You don't get both at the same time. Amen, Brother Tim. That's good preaching, Brother Tim. Okay, it's Bible. Look at verse 36. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his spiritual life, his kingdom life? If you get on the same journey that the rest of the world is that don't know God, you're going to get the same result. You say, well, I gave my heart to Christ. Well, great. That means you go to heaven. But you're not going to get kingdom life here if you think and operate the same world way the world does. you're going to get the world results. Now, it's, you know, I'm just telling you, you say, well, we live here. I want to tell you what Jesus is saying is that you can experience, you personally can experience his best life, his kingdom life, while you live in a fallen world. You say, well, I thought that's what, well, heaven's going to be great, but you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to experience the power and the passion and the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah to his name. Well, this is a win-win-win. What can a man give as an exchange, a compensation, a ransom in return for his blessed life in the kingdom of God? Is there anything worth more than your soul life? Blessed life. Now, I want to tell you, there's a lot of people that have a lot of money, and a lot of money is not enough. They got disturbed hearts, hearts of fear, anxiety, heartbreak. The same troubles that people of every financial level have. There's only one cure, and it's the Jesus factor. Jesus brings peace. And I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have, Jesus can give you such peace that you're fulfilled in your life. When I was preaching in Central America, I actually stayed in some man's or little houses, and they were called stick houses. And I want to tell you, it's a dirt floor, and I slept on the dirt floor, even though they warned me not to because of the snakes. I slept on the dirt floor because I was more concerned about those little bitty hammocks than I was the snakes. So I didn't get up above my knees. But I want to tell you what happened. I could look around every wall in that stick house, and I could see through it, cracks, because it was a house made of sticks and a thatch roof. But I want to tell you, in those little homes, there was such joy and such peace and such love and such celebration of the goodness of God. Can you see that? That's the Jesus factor. And I come back to the States and go to million-dollar homes, and they'd be full of darkness, full of disturbance. Are you listening? What's the difference? It's not the money. It's the Jesus factor. But Jesus can give you peace and give you a blessed life, a higher life, no matter where you are, where you've been. Jesus makes a difference. Look what Jesus said in verse 38. Whoever is ashamed here and now of me, whoever says no to me, in my words, his words are life and spirit. These people in this adulterous, unfaithful, preeminently sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in his glory, of his Father with the holy angels. You say, wow, what does that mean? I'm going to tell you from a father's perspective, from God the Father's perspective. It's real simple. It's said in a couple different ways, but it's the same message. The way you treat my son is the way you'll be treated. You accept my son, I'll accept you. You reject my son, I reject you. But he says, receive. See, he made it real clear. Jesus came because God so loved you. When you were already saying no to him, he so loved you, he sent his best in order for you to be able to say yes to his best. He didn't come to judge you. Jesus is not throwing stones or the Ten Commandments or the Bible at you. He came to give you the opportunity to say yes to him, because he's already said yes to you from the cross. Is that beautiful? That's the way the Lord is. And so that's why I'm just going to make this little statement. If he's not Lord of all, is he Lord at all? You know, that's a good question. Hey, I'm not trying to throw anything at you. I'm trying to bring you to a lifetime, everyday life decision to let Jesus be your Savior. You need a Savior. I need a Savior. All of us need a Savior. You say, well, my darkness is darker than others. It's darkness, and he's the light. So surrender and say, he's my everything. Let him be your everything. How do you respond to them? Because that's what you get. Now look, let's look at 2 Corinthians 8:8. And Paul is speaking to a group of people that love the Lord and they want to love on Him, and he's given some instruction. Anybody here love the Lord and you want to love on the Lord? Well, Paul, this instruction is for you too. He said, encourage the people to give, to love on Him. Well, Brother Tim, you talking about money? No, I'm not talking about ching ching. He refers to it, but he's talking about how to love the Lord and how to love others. He said, I give this not as an order. You understand that? He's not telling people that I command you to do this. I've given you an order to do this. This is 2 Corinthians 8:8. He's telling you, you don't do this because somebody's telling you or commanding you or putting it on you to do. No, no, no. We do what we do not to get from God. We do what we do because of what we've received from God. We do what we do because we love the Lord. And he's just telling them, I know you love the Lord and you want to love on the Lord. And this is one expression of how to do this. Are you with me? Okay. Man, I'm sharing with you something here that will help you win the mind games. These are some victory principles that you can practice. But if you try to do them as a 1 + 1 = 2, you can miss. But what I'm trying to share with you, an important principle for victory in your life, is that you do these things because you love the Lord. And when you do them because of love, because the Lord's loved on you, and you're loving the Lord back, and it's an expression of love, I want to tell you the kingdom of God is activated in your life. And he's able to do things in you and through you that you could never get done on your own. It's supernatural. Okay? So that's why I had to take a little time out, because it's by his spirit, not by his flesh. But this is one of the ways. His love activates the spiritual weapons to be mighty in your life. They got to be turned on. And even faith operates by love. And so the love of God is important. Now look what he says. But to prove that by pointing out the zeal of others. See, what he's saying is that this is how some of the other people that love Jesus, love on Jesus, is by giving to others. It's in you. I want to tell you, when you love the Lord, his love needs to be expressed. Love's designed to express. If you say you love your mate and you never express it, you're wrong. And you may be lying. But I want to tell you what true love does. It looks for a way to express love. And I want to tell you, the love of Jesus in you is so mighty and so amazing that it's in you to express that love. And sometimes, I hope you don't think this is wrong, but sometimes we need to watch others, how they love on Jesus, so that we can get an idea of how we can love on Jesus. Is that too much for you? That's part of why we need each other. He said, because of the sincerity of your own love also, I know you love the Lord. And so this is one of the ways that you can express your love. And so, let me just tell you this. Our love expression for Jesus is based on his love impression to us. You can give people a list of do's and don'ts, but that's not love. Rules are not love. But I want to tell you, when you show people how much the Lord loves them, and then you can show them this is one of the ways you can express your love back, I want to tell you, love flows and love is mighty. Love activates the kingdom of God into multiplication. How exciting this is. And so our love expression for Jesus is based on his love impression for us. We're not to focus on our love for God. Now, this is where a lot of folk in church life miss it. Because if we're going to stop and focus, do I love the Lord enough? Am I loving the Lord enough? How do I love the Lord? I must do this list to love the Lord. Do I love God enough? I just want to say you don't. And I want to say you can't. Well, Brother Tim, the Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And how you been doing on that? You're looking at somebody that doesn't do that perfectly. I'm looking at people through the camera even that don't do that perfectly. But I want to tell you what happened. He came. He came in our place. And he lived the perfect life. And he loved even the unlovely. He loved all of us. And he did it. He loved Father with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he did it for us in our place. And he went to the cross so that we can have the same position that he gained. We get what he gained. We can't gain what he got. We receive it. There's a difference between attaining and obtaining. We receive it. We receive it based on his report card. The Old Testament was real clear. If you do this and this and this, you get blessed. If you don't do this and this and this, you get cursed. I want to tell you the good news. We could never do it. And what it was to show was that we needed a Savior. We needed mercy. We all need mercy. But I want to tell you the good news is that Jesus, the Bible says, on the cross, took all of our curses upon himself that we might have what he got. He took what we had so we can have what he got. Do I need to say it a little different? He became what we are on the cross, sinners. He became what we are so that we could become what he is, a son of the living God, forgiven, the righteousness of God in Christ. And that's why the Bible is real clear that we are that now. If we focus on our love for God, you're going to be frustrated, you're going to be disappointed, you're going to be tired, you're going to quit. Because you'll never measure up. Here's the key, 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you are becoming progressively acquainted with and recognizing more strongly and more clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to tell you what that means. That means you're growing in his grace. You're getting to see Jesus more and more. You're growing in the Lord. And when you're growing in the Lord, you get revelation. Now, when I say revelation, I'm not meaning new doctrine. I'm saying you get to see Jesus more clearly. Hey, we all see through a glass darkly, but as you grow in grace and get to know Jesus better, the glass gets lighter and lighter. I want to tell you, that's exciting stuff, because when you get to see Jesus more clearly as he is, you're transformed by his glory. He changes you. It's supernatural. He does it. You don't change yourself. He changes you. Boy, is that great news. That's exciting stuff right there, just by seeing Jesus. He wants us to be in the Word and see him. We see his kindness. We see his gracious generosity. His undeserved favor, his spiritual blessing. We get to see how much he loves us, and we get to walk. The more we see how much he loves us, are you getting this? The more we see how much he loves us, the more we walk in greater and greater depths of his love. Because his love is undeserved favor. He's already paid for it. It's spiritual blessing. Well, I'm telling you, it's blessed. And he wants us to see him and to be loved by him, so we're in a position to receive it. The more we see it, the more we believe it. The more we believe it, the more we receive it. That's God's way. If you doubt, you do without. If you believe, you receive. Is that too simple? Okay. I've got a friend, Pastor Tony Shupp. He pastors close to here, City Life Church in Bedford. Amazing man of God. Great church. And we're going to get to fellowship with them, I think, in the near future. And you're going to get to meet Pastor Tony. But I love him a lot. But I want to tell you, he knows this principle I'm about to share, because it's a life principle for him. I see it, I hear it when I visit with him. It comes out of his heart. It just spills out. It goes like this. You look in the Word and see Jesus. And when you see Jesus, the Holy Spirit gives you revelation of who Jesus is. Now, sometimes that's not real clear, because, you know, we're receiving wisdom and it's new for us and we're trying to get the picture. And sometimes it's kind of like a puzzle and we don't know if we got all the pieces. And so this is why the Bible tells us to meditate on Jesus in the Word. And we seek Jesus in the Word. And he says, if you'll seek, Ask, seek, and knock, you will find. But the original language says to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. It's a lifetime commitment of learning, humbling ourselves before the Lord. We want to see Jesus more and more. And the more we see him, the more we're changed. Now, this is kind of the part where this comes, and Pastor Tony's got this down. And I like to say things with a little rhyme sometimes so I can remember. This is not exact, but it's good theology. Okay. The more we share our impression, when we confess our impression, we get more revelation. Sometimes it's just an impression. You don't get the whole picture. But when we give expression to our impression, we get revelation. All right, do you see that? I want to tell you, Pastor Don, he's not at the youngest part of his life. Of course, he's at the oldest part of his life. And I want to tell you, I love him and honor him because other pastors that I minister to that are his age or around his age, they've just absolutely retired from Jesus. They've retired from study. They've retired from ministry. They've retired from their walk with God. He said, I've given a lifetime. One of the things I love about him, he's continuing to seek Jesus in the Word. He continues to get revelation of Jesus. How many people you know? Not many pastors I know at his age that go on vacation and go to a Bible conference so they can enjoy the Lord. That's good news. I love that. But you know, it's a lifetime of seeing Jesus and getting to know Jesus better and better. I want to say it again. When we give expression to our impression, see, this is why you need people to fellowship with that you can share what the Lord is showing you. Look, I love to preach series, but I want to tell you, before I ever preach you a series, the Lord's worked me over with it. I'm trying to share with you on a regular basis, not just the Bible, but what the Lord's showing me in the Bible. How I'm seeing Jesus in the Bible. Because revelation begets revelation. But I want to tell you, it's important for you to express it. That's why I tell you to write it down. Journal, write it down. My voice is the pen of a ready writer. I mean, you write it out. But a lot of times it's as you're sharing it, and sometimes you've seen me do this. This is why it happens in sermons sometimes, where I'm sharing something, and all of a sudden it comes together. The piece of the puzzle comes together. When I was sharing, trying to share this a few months ago with a group of pastors, I fumbled and bumbled on it so much it didn't make sense to anybody. But by now, I'm seeing it ever more clearly because it's become more and more part of my life. Do you understand that? But even sometimes while I'm preaching, that's why I look over here at the beautiful blonde and I say, well, write that down, because it's never hit me that way before. But as you're expressing your impression, you get revelation. Okay, so the basis of your love for Jesus and others comes from seeing and receiving his love for you. Now, I'm going to take a couple more minutes, and I know my time is done, but just give me a couple more minutes, because I need to come to this place. When we focus on his love for us and practice receiving his love for us, our love life with him and for him is an automatic byproduct. You don't have to work yourself up to love the Lord back. It's a love expression. It's a fruit expression of his rich vine love life. His love life, the vine being connected to the vine, his love life produces fruit of the Spirit. It's not works of the Spirit. It's not works of the human. It's not works of the flesh. It's fruit. I don't know if you've been around any trees, but they don't grunt to produce fruit. It's just a result of the life in them. It's the same way with you. Do you remember John? There's three times, I preached a series on this a few years ago for Christmas. Three times in the book of John, he identifies himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I think my theme in that series was that you're a favorite. You're God's favorite. Because you're favored of the Lord. You're loved by him. Now look, every believer can say that. John was one that received it. I want to tell you, Jesus loved all the disciples. You know, Jesus loved Judas. He loved all the disciples. But I want to tell you something. John was more aware of it than the others. John had a greater revelation of the love of Jesus, loving him, than the others had. John was more conscious of the Lord's love than the others were. You are free to be conscious of how much he loves you. And the more that we grow in the revelation of how much he loves you, I want to tell you, the fruit of his love is manifest in our life. It's not by grunting. It's not by a list of do's and don'ts. It flows out of our life. As a result of this with John, he was the only male disciple at the foot of the cross. John was realizing it more than the rest. As a matter of fact, there was a point of time there. I don't have time to turn to it. But Peter actually asked John. He said, go find out who Jesus is talking about. Now, why didn't Peter do that? Well, I want to tell you, he knew. Listen, the more you're aware of the love of Jesus, the more revelation you get. Peter asked John, go find out. Go get us some info. Now, I want to tell you, Peter represents the believers who are determined to love God out of their human strength. It's a picture. He said to Jesus, I'll never leave you. I'll fight for you. I'll take my sword out for you. I'll kill for you. I'll go to hell for you. They'll never get you. And I want to tell you, before the rooster crowed three times, he had denied Jesus three times with cursing. But what about John? John was at the cross. When everybody else was running in fear, John stood at the cross. And so I want to tell you, there are Christians like Peter who boast in their love for God. And then there are Christians like John who boast in the Lord's love for them. Which one are you going to be? Do you see the difference? Okay, it's important. I want to just give you this picture, and I'm finished. The last time I was in Oklahoma to visit my little granddaughters, I was taking them out to get Mexican food for supper. They love it, especially the chips and the dips. Boy, I'm telling you, it's exciting. But as we were getting out of the vehicle to go in, little Pebs said, I want to sit by Papa T. Okay. Little Lila said, I want to sit by Papa T. I said, okay, there's plenty of room. And so here we are in the restaurant. I got one on one side and one on the other. And I want to tell you, it's an adventure. We are fellowshipping. We're having some great stories, some great laughs, great food going everywhere. We're having a blast. And in between times, Pebs would lean over and put her head on me. And just let me love on her. And then Lila would lean over, without being told, would lean over and put her head on me and just rest on me and let me love on her. Now, I want to tell you why. They didn't look in the menu and see what to do. You know why they did that? Because they were confident that Jesus loves them, that I loved them. And I want to tell you, when you're confident that Jesus loves you, you will do what John did. You know what John did? He leaned his whole body on the chest of Jesus, and he let Jesus love on him on the most dynamic night of their life. John received. Are you receiving? Because I want to tell you, when you're confident on how much Jesus loves you, you will take time in the midst of the worst days of your life to lean on the breast of Jesus. It represents his heart, and let Jesus love on you. And when he loves on you, you're going to have strength and boldness and confidence to let God's love work through you. You'll comfort people at their cross where nobody else will show up. You'll have words of comfort that nobody else has. You'll experience the treasure of heaven in this fallen world. And nobody else is receiving. But I want to tell you, it's for you. Because he paid the same price at the cross for you as he did for everybody else. And the same love that Jesus loved John with, was for every disciple that would receive it. The same love that Jesus loved John with, he loves you with. It's not the question on what your report card. None of us deserve it. He paid the price for all of us to receive it. And so are you receiving the love of Jesus? That's the question. Why don't you bow your head? 1 John 4.